This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to Living Life Single, the show that embraces laughter whilst exploring everything about single life. Join us as we discuss life topics with a single slant, as we find acceptance and learn to embrace our singledom. Living Life Single, where being single means you're never by yourself.
Welcome, Melbourne. Welcome, Australia.
Hello.
Oh, who's this? Who is this?
Hello.
Who's this person? Hey?
What do you mean, who's this? Okay.
Jono, welcome.
Yay, she's back.
She's back with a vengeance. Thank you so much, mister. But, you know, you are not in the studio, is that right?
That's correct. You can probably tell from this satellite that I'm out in the suburbs of Victoria.
And I can tell because you're not physically here, right?
No, Chateau Legiano is where I am.
I want to be there.
You've been here, love.
Well, I have, but yeah.
You just like keep up the pretense that we don't collect outside of our studio.
Oh, it's so good. I'm so rapt to hear you and be on the show together again, because you've had a bit of a rough trot, right?
Oh, God, Yanni. I mean, have you got 3 hours?
Well, we've got – God, no one does. No, look, it's a rough trot, and, you know, I think we'll definitely have a chat about it, because it kind of feeds into, like, today's episode, which is all about mental health check-in, right?
Lovely.
You know, because – and I think this came about from what you were going through the last couple of weeks, and I was checking in on you, and it's like, well, how do we do that for us as single people?
Everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
But, you know, I've got a little surprise for you, though, Jono.
What's his name?
Wouldn't you like to know, right? Wouldn't you like to know?
Send him over.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to be able to see him, right? So it doesn't.
I can feel him.
All right. You know what? I'm going to tell you a little goal of mine today.
A goal.
I've got a goal. I sort of came in here with an intention. And my intention today for today's show is to make you laugh. I want to make you laugh so much that you pee yourself. So that is my that is my goal for today, and I want to know what
you've done that before.
I want to know if I was successful by the end of the show. Okay.
Okay. All right, I'll let you know.
All right, because we're going to cover some heavy topics today. But, you know, when we started this show, Jono, we always wanted to approach this with a sense of fun and humour and just some practicalness around it. So let's give it a go today. And we're doing today's episode came about, it's a mental health check-in. So, and I do have some numbers, which I'll read out later for everyone if they do want to know who to contact if something was to come up. It started because you were going through some issues, and I was sort of just checking on you, not, you know, enough or not enough. Who knows? You can tell me. And I thought, you know what? Maybe we can sort of do that about today's episode about being single and checking in on your mates when they've got a bit of a tough time.
Yeah.
Tell me.
As people may or may not know, I've been suffering from a thing called diabetic retinopathy. And so retinopathy affects the eyes. And it's from from having diabetes, type 1 diabetes, for such a long time. I've had a couple of hemorrhages in my left eye in the past. And then my good eye decided to hemorrhage. So for a period of time, I was actually, I've been blind for a couple of weeks. Like, both eyes were blurry. So they just operated on my right eye. Long story short, that's now healing, but there's still some vision impairment. But there was a point that I was like, oh my God, I need to speak to my therapist again, most probably, because, like, this is a very dark and lonely place. Like, you're in your own thoughts. You can't go anywhere. You can't really walk very far. I had to engage with a social support worker to come over and assess me for support around the home. And so it was kind of very, not shattering, but like, awakening. Like, it was like, fuck, excuse my language, but like, it really made me think hard. And but it was really good to have you there and other people like Carmel as well, who's here today with me.
Yeah.
You know, just checking in. How are you going? Do you need anything? Just or just going, hello.
All right. We have a lot to unpack because there's so much there that has just blown my mind, and I think so much there that has just blown the mind of our listeners. So let's unpack that. Living Life Single. If you do want to contact us, please do so on livinglifesingle@joy.org.au. That is our email, direct to myself and Jono.
The road trainers. It's a carrier pigeon.
Oh, it's a carrier pigeon. Love it. Love it.
To me.
To you, exactly. Now, you said, Jono, that basically you were blind. Now, you said that
and not
quite,
in a good way.
Yeah, no, not in a good way, right? You could not see. And you said that really quite flippantly. Now, let's just unpack that. What the hell was that? How did that happen? Did you just wake up? Let's unpack that, because that, I just don't think you gave yourself enough credit for what that really means, because you couldn't see.
Yeah.
So talk to us about that.
So yeah, one of my eyes had hemorrhaged and I was healing from that. Then the other eye hemorrhaged, and I knew instantly I woke up, and it was just like being very, very blurry vision. It wasn't like blackout, but it was just like, you just know, you're like, oh shit. Like, excuse my language, but you just give me like, damn, like, how am I going to navigate this? So I knew I had to go to A&E.
So let's just pause for a moment. There was one eye that was blurry. Right, and that was blurry.
Hemorrhaged.
Yeah, so that was blurry for what? A week or so.
That was recovering from it, hemorrhage.
Yeah, right. So that was recovering. So you had your good eye, right? And then one morning, you say that again.
No, but then one morning, the bad eye that had hemorrhage previously decided to just do it at the same time.
And then you literally couldn't see clearly.
Correct, which is probably a good thing when I'm looking at certain people.
What, myself?
Maybe. I'd be okay in a dark room.
Yeah, right. Do you know what? It's usually easy for me to make you laugh when you're in the studio, because all you have to do is just look at me, Jono, and you kind of just piss yourself. Now I've got to work a bit harder, right? So.
Yep.
So you woke up one morning, the whole world was blurry, and then you thought, what did you think?
Well, I thought I looked like Frankenstein at first. you know, we've spoken about it before. We both have CPAP machines.
Yes, yes.
So I had CPAP machine, take my retainers out. Then now I've got these fucking eyes. So I look like Darth Vader. So I'm like, great. I'm probably going to be single for a very long time.
Which is fine, right? Which is okay.
So that was my first thought. Yeah, right. Like, great. Definitely going to be single for a bit longer.
No, there are people out there who prefer personality. I'm sure there are, right?
Let's try telling that when you can't get on Grindr or Tinder, you can't see to get on there. I prefer his long white stick. And his dog, his guide dog. I was very panicked and I was like, oh my God. So I went to A&E. My brother was still over from Adelaide, but I was just like, you guys go ahead and do what you're doing. I think they were leaving that night or something. I can't remember what they were doing. Mm. And I went down to A&E. I think I got dropped off. My sister dropped me off. And then she went and met my brother. And then I said, like, I'll see you later. I'll just get an Uber home.
So what were you thinking at this point whilst you were driving to A&E? What were you thinking, feeling? Were you calm? Were you in there by yourself?
I was calm.
Yep.
I was calm. And there's not, like, at that point, there's not much you can do. You just have to focus on what you can do. I don't know.
Which was what? Stay calm?
I knew I would have to wait in A&E a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, look, this is an emergency. I can't see out of either eyes now. Being type 1 diabetic, I can't really see what my pump's doing. I really need to see someone immediately. So they actually, it was only about 3 or 4 hours rather than 10 hours. Mm. And then the doctor saw me and checked my eyes. And then she didn't want me to go home. So she said, we're going to keep you in. We're going to admit you to the ward. At least then you can have someone look after you.
Was it the psych ward? Was it?
Oh my God. Well, I've almost ended up on that ward before.
Yeah. Oh God.
Accidentally, when I was pretending to be a robot, when I was having my sleep study.
Oh my God.
That's another story. I know. But so no, I went to the ward. All was good. I actually have I have to digress quickly. There was this beautiful man that came in who was social support worker on the ward. His name, well, I can't say his name.
No, don't say his name.
But he was, I could tell he was an ally, at least, if not gay himself.
Right. And that always makes things better, doesn't it? That always just...
Oh, my God. It was just so nice. I can't say his name anyway, but he came up to bed, and I could tell he was physically fit. He was South African. He had a moustache. And he had these black splodges on his hands and his arms. And I was like, are they tattoos? And he was like, yeah. He said, I've got tattoos all over.
Blotches? Because so that's all you could see, right? You could just see the blotches. You know, couldn't
I
see.
I could only see black blotches. I right. said, Yoni, I grabbed his hands and I started stroking his hands.
Oh, my God. John.
I was like, oh, yeah, they are tattoos.
Were you on any medication at this point? Or you just, just started?
I don't know. No. I think that was just being me.
Was that a comfort thing? Like, is that?
I think it was more a comfort thing.
Yeah.
Just then, because I felt like he was very calming anyway.
Yeah.
And then on my phone, you try to program my phone so it would read out absolutely every single thing that was going on my phone screen.
Did he check out your photos? Like, was he?
Well, he was on there, and the name of the voice that you can pick on that voice thing was his name. And he said, oh, well, let's go with my name, shall we? And I thought he was flirting with me. Anyway, so the phone then started reading out these weird things like swipe left, swipe down, and all that. And I was like, no, turn it off. Please turn it off. I can't have it talking to me. Absolutely. So anyway, he was really lovely and really friendly, and I've saved his name. So, but he talked about how he was covered in tattoos. But I think I was just approaching life as normal at this point. I was just being myself.
Okay, all right. Hold on to that.
I wasn't worrying about anything.
You doing all right?
Yes, we are popping here in Sydenham.
There you go. Love it. Love it. That's the place to pop, right?
So it is. Well, yeah.
Now,
near Sydenham anyway. But
before our Delta Goodrum,
I love Delta Goodrum.
Isn't she great? I love that song. That was a really fun song. And I was just thinking, I'm on top of the world with you, Jono.
Oh, well, you'd want to be.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Right, where else would you want to be?
Exactly.
Well, you could be in a Ioneer Hospital ward.
Well, you could, which you were, and then you met this lovely tattooed nurse who you just took a liking to.
But it's a support worker. I can't believe it, but anyway.
So how helpful? Yeah. So what happened after that? You met this support worker. You were in there. Did you stay there for a few days, or did you go home? What happened?
No, I stayed there overnight, but as part of being in there, I had an assessment. I had a lady come over the other day, a nurse, to assess what help I could need if I needed it.
Yeah.
And they go through all these other things. So if you really can't see, or you're mentally ill, or, if you're physically not able to walk and all this, they go through this whole assessment. It's about 2 hours long. And what help I need. And as my vision is returning, and I luckily have some family and friends around me that I can lean on, I really just, it's only going to be help, some cleaning, some like bathroom cleaning and some front room and vacuuming and mopping.
Mm.
But they do everything. They can go and get groceries for you. And I didn't know any of this existed. And it's all subsidized. So, you know, you only have to pay, like, depending on your salary, either $10 an hour or $20 an hour or something like that. But that definitely started to help with the mental aspect of it. Like, it didn't feel like there was such a weight on the shoulder.
So let's talk about that a little bit. When you got home after spending the night in the hospital and with little Mr. Hottie, and you got home, were you by yourself? Did you have someone there? What were you thinking at that point? Like your mental health, what state were you in?
Oh, it was back to not good.
Right.
I luckily had my mom come over a day or two later.
This is before the surgery
at that point. Yeah, this was before surgery, after I'd been to A&E.
Yeah. So she came there.
She came over, but in those few days in between, I was literally not good.
And you were
damn.
You were there at home by yourself.
Like my sister came over a couple of times.
Yeah.
But literally, you know, I live out in the sticks and, you know,
yeah, and you couldn't
I live
see.
Alone, which I suppose.
Yeah, that's, hey? And you couldn't see. I would say that's that is a usual response, I think. Like, you've just lost your eyesight. You're at home by yourself.
Yeah.
Look, you're not going to be dancing.
Losing like, my religion.
Yeah, right. You're not going to be sort of cheering, you know, like yourself on and going, this is fantastic. No, it's a really crappy situation. So I think that is an expected response. But how did you deal with it? I think that's what we want to get into. When none of this was out of your fault, what did you do to kind of go, uh-oh, this is not good. I'm not good right now. I need to do something.
Oh, God. I mean, there wasn't much I could do, to be honest. I luckily have the support of a really great team at work, my boss. I let her know almost immediately. My mom and my dad, and then mom made the decision to stop her job. She's a nurse, and so she took time off work. Her boss was fine with her coming over to live with me for 4 or 5 days.
Mm.
So pre and post surgery. And then mom basically, was here to cook and clean and iron and do all this stuff for me and get me meal prep and take me to the shops, took me out for a walk. But just all that kind of stuff, it's really like, I couldn't even really walk quite too far away from my house because the pavement's uneven. Literally, this sounds like a pun, but it's not supposed to be. But this has been an eye-opening for me in every sense. Like, I really feel for visually impaired people. I really understand now. Even walking down some stairs, like why they have yellow lines on there sometimes, because you might not be blind, but if you're visually impaired, sometimes that yellow line guides you, that's the edge of the step.
Yeah, right.
You know, and all these other things that I did not know. Even at the train station, I stupidly thought I would be able to, before the surgery, I had to go in for an eye injection, walk from, say, Parliament to the Eye and Ear Hospital, and I just needed some help every now and again. So I was at the station. I said, can you just guide me to the lifts, please? And she said, sure. And one lady took me up the one lady literally grabbed my arm and took me. And on the way back, this other lady said, follow the yellow line. And I thought, like, follow the yellow brick road. Anyway, I followed the line to the lifts, but it didn't go where it's supposed to go. So I actually walked into the wall.
Why you walked into the wall?
Yeah, Yanni, I followed the yellow line, and the yellow line went into the wall, and I thought that was where the lift doors opened.
No.
And it wasn't. That was next to the yellow line. So, but imagine if this was a completely blind person. They might have a guide dog. They might have an animal. But, you know, it really started opening my eyes to people when, you know, for instance, the delivery driver came to drop something off the other day, and he was like, please sign here. And I was like, sign where? Like, it's all these little things.
Were you hitting on him, Jono? Were you hitting on him?
No.
No.
But it does start to frustrate you, and it really starts to impact you. You're stuck in it, like, you're agitated, and you're like, oh, my God. And you get, you know, so I wasn't in a good space, but I had my therapist touch base with me, and we were supposed to have a session, and I was like, I'm really going to need you next month, so let's pause that for now, and we'll see you next month.
Mm.
And I said, seeing being the operative word, I would love to be able to see you, so let's do that. But I think having a network of people.
Yeah. From your perspective as a single gay man, what was...
Who told you that?
Yeah. how was the check-ins important for you?
So important.
Talk to us about that. Like, what did you want from your friends, families, colleagues, you know, co-host?
I'm your co-host.
How does one reach out in a situation like this?
Just exactly what everyone did. Like, text. I mean, I couldn't read, but I was getting
serious. I text you, but I couldn't read it. Great, love it.
I was just asking her to read out the last message that was sent, and she would read them out.
Yeah.
We were voice
texting, right?
Yes, the voice notes were great. But as soon as the people that mattered clocked onto that fact, that was so much easier. Like, my family was sending me voice notes. Although people were still sending me, like, things via TikTok and Instagram messages because I would see the notification, but I wouldn't actually see what it was or who it was from. So I just ignored it. So I got my mum to post about me not being able to read. But, no, it was really important. Having people just say, hey, how's it going? Even just saying, do you need anything? And if you need anything, we can drive to you or come to you. And in fact, that's why Carmel's here to stay with me in the garden.
Mm. Well, there you go.
My good friend, Carmel.
Yeah. So as I think what we've covered in previous episodes as well is having that support network around you. And it was really interesting last week, Jono, when we had Pam on.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you were, I don't know if you've listened to the podcast yet.
No, one thing, yes, I was waiting for it to be uploaded. That, I think it is now.
Yep, then that's okay. One thing that she mentioned was the importance of that network, and it's two ways. Like, as a single individual, you have to invest in that network. It's not just going to happen. Yep. And both ways, like, people have to invest in you as well. And it sounds like the investment that you've made over the over your lifetime, it was paying off in your moment of need. And that seems to be, I think, true and a theme throughout certainly this show, is that you have to make the investment. You can either, you know, sit at home and it's tough, or you can try and text everyone in your contact list and go, hey, let's catch up. Or just say, hey, how are you going? Haven't seen you for a while. Let's make some plans.
Yeah.
And I think there's some real value in that for the good times and the not so good times.
Yes. It's just, making sure you've got that network there. You don't always have to be in constant contact with people, but I think the guys at work knew there was something wrong because I hadn't been into the office. So they were like, oh, what's happening here? Mm. We haven't heard from him. He's normally quite vocal or quite present on social media, or, you know, or we just see him at work and we haven't seen him for a few weeks. And then people started noticing, like, on social media that hadn't really responded to anything. And then they were like getting worried. So that's what I had to get mom to do a post. But I think really refocuses things, like, just, you know, having a backup plan, you know, you've got things ready and at your fingertips, like medical phone numbers, important phone numbers in case of emergencies. You know, we've talked about having family and having those nearby. But it really has tested my independence in the last few weeks and gumption.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the grit. Yeah, gumption. That's
my grit. Like, if I can get this, I've just this major eye surgery done, like injections in my eye are nothing. Like, that's due to a penny now.
Mm.
Like, people would grimace at that. It's like, well, now, whatever. Next, what's next? Hopefully nothing. But, you know, I think I've had my fair share of stuff now to last me a while.
So what's next good for you? Like, what are the next, where do you go from here, Jono?
So I'm waiting for this eye to heal properly. So it could take another 3 or 4 weeks.
Yep.
And then we're going to focus on the left eye and maybe triage that, see how we can help that one. That's the one that's bled a few times.
Right.
But at the moment, that's the more trickier operation.
Stick a Band-Aid on it. That always helps.
So oh, my God. What did Jason say last week? Honey, lemon, and chili or something. Yeah. I was like, I'll just stick that in my eye, shall I?
Yeah, do it. Yeah, that with a bandage, no problem.
Oh my God, Yanni, I did look like, I looked like Phantom of the Opera when I came out.
Oh, I love it. I can so see you in that outfit. That's so you, right?
Well, I had like half an eye mask on and it covered my face. And Mum was like, oh my God, Mum, I was singing to her.
That's hilarious. Jono, guess what?
What?
We are at that time, your favourite time of the show.
And I didn't even come into the studio. This is insane.
I know. Don't get too comfortable, Mr. Like, I am. I know you. You are going to, as soon as you can, I'm going to make you come in. I will come around, put some spark under that ass of yours, set that alight, and you will be in here in the studio. Don't you worry about that. I can see you going, oh, this is cushy. You are going to be in here as soon as you can. Mark my words, Mr.
I know, we've got lots to do in the summer. We've got to go and see all the single people at midsummer as well, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. All right, mister. Do you want me to go first or you?
Yeah, I think you should go first.
Yeah, I think a good thing for me about being single this week was I just got to do what I wanted when I wanted, and that was great. Nice. And I think even like today, I just wanted to – there's a bit of sun during the day, so I got out, read my book, came back, and just sort of, I'm going to chill and enjoy – everything. And I think one of the challenging things was I started a new job recently and I didn't have anyone there to sort of talk to and decompress. And it's an adjustment. Starting a new role is an adjustment. And there was no one there to sort of, just help you through those moments of of trying to figure things out. So that wasn't the best, but, you know, it's all things are going really well. So, yeah. And you, Mister?
Well, obviously for me, the negative of being single has been tested recently, let's just say that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the positives out of this last week, or maybe the last couple of weeks actually, is my eyes have never been more open.
Yeah, right.
And that means I can actually see who I value and who I don't really value anymore.
Yeah.
And those people that have reached out and those that haven't reached out, those people that look at your stories but never clap or congratulate you, those are the ones that I can actually see. That's what I've seen.
Yeah, right. And
for me, that's a positive, because now I'm like, you're going to just get the same energy as you give me, and that's okay.
Well, you know who to invest your time in. It's not a negative thing. Correct. It's like, well, I'm not going to invest my energy in that. Like, it's not a it's just, you know, you're focusing your energy where you now know where to focus your energy.
Yeah, and I got some great ideas for, you know, next phase of things that I work on, as well as Living Life Single. So,
great.
Great guest ideas for next year's grid.
Well, let's do it. Let's do it, Mister. All right, everyone, that is it for today's show. So have a fantastic, fantastic weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Living Life
Single.
Take care.
Bye.
Being single means you're never by yourself. Tune in next week and remember to catch the podcast at joy.org.au/livinglifesingle.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.